Seeking Alpha, TheStreet.com, and many other places. He's the author of the weekly Best Stocks Now newsletter and the inventor of the Best Stocks Now app. He's president of Gunderson Capital Management. Here is professional money manager, Bill Gunderson.
And welcome to the Thursday edition of the Best Stocks Now show. And we've got to mention Best Inverse Funds Now show, as we are back into several inverse funds. This is Bill Gunderson, president of Gunderson Capital Management. We have just had a sudden, take all the starch out of the shirt type reaction, all the wind out of the sails reaction to Jerome Powell's speech, nasty speech on Friday in Jackson Hole. And the market has sold off every day since then. The Dow is down 223 right now, and that puts the Dow at 31,286. The S&P is down 38. It's about 1%, 3,917. We were at 4,400, 4,300, something like that, before the speech. The NASDAQ is down 146. Surprising news last night after the close of the market about some of our chip stocks, semiconductor stocks, not being able to sell to China a lot of their goods, which was very surprising. The small cap index is down 1.6%, risk off all the way here today so far. Even crude oil, which now there's talk that the OPEC Plus is not going to cut. Production 86.84. Crude is down $2.71. The crude oil stocks are under pressure today. Gold's down $17. Silver's down 26 cents. The euro has dropped below parity. It's 99.45, below parity of 1.00. And get this, the 10-year is all the way up to 3.24% today. That's probably one of the biggest culprits here, is this rising interest rate situation, which has had gasoline thrown on the fire since the speech by Powell. And Bitcoin is down $396. It's under 20,000, 19,928. So welcome to today's Best Stocks Now show, Best Inverse Funds Now show, with professional money manager Bill Gunderson, president of Gunderson Capital Management, a nationwide virtual firm with clients all over America, clear up to the North Pole in Alaska, a city called the North Pole, that is. And all the way out to Hawaii, down to Florida, the tip of Florida, all over. Our radio show can be heard in several markets across the country. And, of course, the podcast is uploaded every day to all the podcast sites. It is the same as the radio show that you're listening to now. I'm Bill Gunderson. I've been a professional money manager for the last 23 years, was an analyst writing up research reports. And, of course, I'm here with Barry Keit, our chartered financial analyst. It's good to have him around here during days like this, weeks like this in the market. I mean, Barry, talk about the Grinch. I don't know what you're going to call it. That stole the summer rally. We had a nice turnaround taking place. We had a trend reversal in the charts about 4, 5, 6 weeks ago. We had a good earnings season. Everything was looking pretty good. And then we got a little too speculative. I will admit to that. I didn't, but the market did. And then the hammer came down on Friday. What do you make of it here?
Yeah, it's like we have to call him the great deflator, right? In terms of, I think one of the narratives I think that's important, and I was reading a couple of pieces yesterday, just in terms of, this talk of a soft landing, right? Trying to, feather between, not slowing the economy too much, but also, you know, raising rates and bringing inflation down. And I think, you know, based on when you look at, you know, kind of what he said in his eight minute speech on Friday was, you know, really that, you know, they're not necessarily aiming for a soft landing. It's more or less they're aiming to bring down inflation. They understand that, you know, jobs are, you know, essentially the unemployment rate's going to have to tick up in order for that to happen. They're also going to have to, you know, basically at least create a growth recession. So you'll have, which oddly enough is a term from 1972, by the way. I think it was coined in 72. It was a big economic research person who kind of coined that phrase back then. But, you know, essentially they're going to have to, you know, you almost can't do both, in other words. And I think kind of the market's realizing that based on that speech that, you know, they're not trying for a soft landing necessarily. If that happens, great. But, I mean, they understand what they have to do in order to get a hold on inflation regardless of what happens.
Well, the Dow got clear up to 34,281 back in the middle of August, okay, 2 weeks ago, 34,281. It ran into a little bit of technical resistance, which was the 50-day, or actually the 200-day moving average. Man, it backed off. Here we are at 31,373. So we're down about 3,000 points, 10% correction here. And I got to be honest, I don't see any stopping this fall until we get back to the old lows. You say, well, where is that? Well, we got the Dow hit 29,653 back in the middle of June. And that's where it turned around and we had that beautiful run in the market, about a 16% gain in the market. And now we're giving that back. We haven't given it all back, but a good chunk of it. And just looking at the technical pattern here, I see the Dow headed back to 30,000, which would be about 1,400 points below where we're at now. For that reason, yesterday I did add some inverse funds back to the mix here at our firm. Looking at the S&P 500, I really don't see much to stop it. It's a falling knife right now until it gets to 36.36. That was where we got back in mid-June. We're currently at 39.28, so we may have a little more pain. Pain's the word. Pain is the word, the four-letter word that he used, Jerome Powell, on Friday, and he's certainly inflicting it. I call him the inflictor of pain. What do you call that? People that enjoy pain? You have to be masochistic, right?
Yeah, right.
Okay, so then we've got the NASDAQ down. Let's see, the NASDAQ, is there any stopping? I really don't see any stopping the NASDAQ either till you get down around 10,565. We're at 11,700. So I'm not going to blame anybody or criticize anybody if they put in an inverse ETF against the Dow. DOG is the one-time inverse. DXD is the two-time inverse. And SDOW, ESDOW, is the three-time inverse. It would really surprise me to see a sudden turnaround to the upside here. I wouldn't blame anybody or criticize anybody for putting in an inverse on the S&P 500. SH is one-time inverse. SDS is two times inverse. And the three-time, I think, is S. I can't remember what the three-time inverse is offhand. And I wouldn't blame anybody for picking on the NASDAQ here, or the small caps, or the emerging markets, or Europe, or the semiconductors, which got really bad news last night. And I think that just threw gasoline on the fire of this sell-off. I would just say thank goodness for inverse funds right now to protect oneself. In case this fire starts to burn any hotter. The S&P was down 4% during the month of August. Information technology was the top loser. So you notice the top losers were the highest PE sectors because all of a sudden interest rates are rocketing higher, 3.23.
Yeah, up 33 basis points since that speech, by
the way.
Wow. So, I mean, that's if we're right at 2.93, I think the day before the speech, and then we're currently sitting at 3.27 at the moment, so roughly 34 basis point move.
And we do have an inverse ETF on interest rates with TBT. So that's doing well. TMV is three times inverse interest rates. So unfortunately, we got to talk. We have to add the inverse funds back to the discussion in our show because of this wicked turn that the market has taken since our friend Powell just gave a nasty speech last Friday. We'll be right back. Second quarter of today's Best Stocks Now Show. Dow down 254, NASDAQ down 184. I knew it was not going to be a good day for the markets today when last evening there was breaking news on this semiconductor story, which came out of nowhere, really, without any warning whatsoever. NVIDIA and AMD are down today after both companies confirmed that the U.S. government has curbed the sale of some of their products to China and Russia. Okay, I don't have a problem with Russia, but this sudden turnabout, I mean, we've been kind of making good and friends with China here recently with the accounting standards and all this and that. We're not going to delist their companies, but there is definitely a big chill between the two countries, a lot of it over Taiwan. But, it was a surprise that nobody saw coming. And both of these stocks, especially NVIDIA, are down sharply today. And it really doesn't affect, AMD says it's immaterial. It doesn't really impact them. But NVIDIA more so, because they don't want NVIDIA's chips being used, obviously, for military use and other kind of nefarious things. NVIDIA said the impact could be worth as much as $400 million a year in revenue. I mean, that's material. And AMD did not see a material impact. But we still have another piece of this puzzle. They also added that the U.S. government's ability to limit restrictions on suppliers such as Taiwan Semiconductor, which makes chips for both NVIDIA and AMD, is limited. But these could be risks. There could be a bigger risk than both companies. It could fall. The fallout could be felt all throughout the semiconductor industry. And I noticed that the foundry companies, Global Foundries and Taiwan Semiconductor are also down because obviously they can't manufacture these chips for AMD and NVIDIA. They are both subcontractors for these companies. Jobless claims fall 5,000 to 232,000. Tomorrow we get the non-farm payrolls report, and we'll be looking at that. We had the ADP report yesterday. It was a little underwhelming, and the jobless claims are pretty much in line. Here's the one that bothers me a little bit. Job cuts in August increased 30% year over year. Well, okay, and I have noticed quite a few companies, it's not a massive wave of companies that are laying people off, but you've had quite a few recently. Snap, I don't know, a bunch of different companies have reported that they're going to be doing some layoffs. A lot of it kind of in the middle management area. And then there's some disturbing numbers here on Europe. And that's one of the inverse funds that we own. It's against Europe. Europe has a lot of structural problems right now. The Eurozone manufacturing PMI contracts for the second month in a row. Okay, well, you think, that's nothing. But that's a 26-month low on the PMI. And we know that we have two negative quarters in the books of GDP. Europe hasn't reported a negative quarter yet, the Eurozone. But you're seeing some of these key indicators. German factory activity contracts for the second month in a row slips to a 26-month low. Okay, France factory activity rebounds in August. So France seems to be going the other way. But you look at the Eurozone, which is the vast majority of Europe, you're hitting 26-month lows in a couple of key indicators for the economy.
Which as a whole is like is the largest economic zone in the world, by the way.
Yes, when you combine it all.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Okay, the Nord Stream shutdown. Now, we don't really know whether it's going to be turned back on. Europe or Russia says it's going to turn it back on, and the market seems to think so. Because oil started dropping at the end of the day yesterday after being up most of the day, especially natural gas. But the Chancellor of Germany, he's not so sure. He's a little bit nervous that they've obviously weaponized that pipeline in Russia. There's no question about that. They're punishing Europe unless they get what they want. They've got tremendous leverage there with that pipeline. In the meantime, Europe is scrambling to build up their stockpiles before winter hits. You also, you know what, I just can't believe that we are even negotiating with Iran for their oil. But they seem to be hell-bent on that path until, even if they get the worst deal of all time, they want to make good with Iran and use and get oil from them. That's putting pressure on oil prices today in the oil markets. Not only new reports saying OPEC Plus is not looking at production cuts, and we'll see whether or not Russia turns on that pipeline. But now, if Iranian oil comes back into the market, that would send oil prices down. And I got to believe, I mean, he's going to do, Biden and the sitting administration is going to do everything they can do to bring down oil prices between now and the election in November. So we do have a little bit of downward pressure between OPEC, between possibility of Iran coming back online, and the possibility of that pipeline being opened up again. Okay, here's the weird story of the day. In California, they're going to have a heat wave. Well, this time of year, they're Santa Anas. We call them Santa Anas, really dry winds that blow off of the desert. And usually that's when the fires and whatnot. I lived through many wildfires in California. From the time I was in kindergarten, I remember being sent home as a fire was racing down the mountain towards our neighborhood. And actually, they kept me at school. I couldn't go home as our neighborhood was evacuated. I remember my dad standing on the roof. Back then, we had wooden shingles, Mary, which couldn't be any worse.
My dad was hosing them down,
right? So, I mean, we've lived with Santa Anas my entire life. And you get hot, 90, 95. So they're telling people not to charge their electric vehicles to save energy. Well, you know, is that a sign of things to come? And then you're stuck at home.
You're going to be charged so you can evacuate.
How do you evacuate? Well, there's a lot of logistics here that aren't working out right now with this plan. We'll be right back. Welcome back here to the second half of today's Best Stocks Now show. We've got, that's improved a little. The Dow's only down 180 right now. That's 0.6%. The NASDAQ is down 165 right now. That's 1.4%. Weakness in the tech sector. In particular, the semiconductor stocks after the surprising news last night about NVIDIA, AMD not being able to sell some of their models of chips to China. And that's where we go next, is to China. You know, things are not going well in China. Their economy is struggling. Why wouldn't it? I mean, are you going to have a weakening economy in Europe and apparently in a weakening economy here in the U.S., two negative quarters in a row? Why wouldn't China be impacted? We're their largest customer, after all, and they're having their own issues. Aluminum sinks to a 16-month low after more weak data on the Chinese economy. Well, Barry, are you keeping a worry list? You have a worry list.
Okay. I mean, it keeps piling up. I mean, I even saw something. You know, the UN released a report yesterday on the Uyghur Muslim, potential crimes against humanity by the country. You keep hearing about a lot of internal discourse there. Of course, they try to keep that under wraps and try to, use whether it's technology, the internet, or what have you, to keep a lot of those things at bay. But coming out of COVID, obviously their COVID zero policies were crushed their their economic growth engine. Their people weren't very receptive to it. You think about, you just think about how many pets, right, that were killed in China. If you imagine, mess with, a certain number of population of U.S.'s pets, right? I mean, you'd have, riots in the streets, trying to tell folks what to do with
spot, people won't fight for their neighbors, but you come to their pets.
Come on. Oh, yeah, for sure.
Okay, all right, get out the worry list, add a few more. Jeremy Grantham, he's a high-profile investor. He says that the current super bubble that we're in has not deflated yet. Prepare for an epic finale. Okay, all right. Well, let's see how this book ends.
He's always a little gloom and doom, by the way.
Yes, he's a perma.
I read his whole interview last night. So.
He's seen three super bubble. Now, in my commercial that I recorded, I've seen two. Well, I've seen super bubbles in various asset classes other than stocks. But I saw the super bubble of 2000. That was the biggest one I saw. It was incredible. And then the 2008, 2009, it was in the housing market
housing
and in
and
the debt
bubble.
Markets.
Right.
This time it seems to be in just about everything. Okay,
we had one. You called one in Bitcoin just a year and a half ago.
66,000
below 22 today. I mean, below 20,000.
Yes, and I do own, by disclosure, BITI, which is an inverse Bitcoin ETF, which came out recently. Okay, so he also called the housing super bubble. He says, if history repeats, the play we're watching will be a tragedy. Okay, good. We must hope this time for a minor tragedy. He says, challenges in China and headwinds like the Fed. And this is true. I'm seeing this. In the tech sector, the leading edge of the U.S. and global economy, hiring is slowing, layoffs are rising, and CEOs are increasingly bracing for recession. We'll have to watch rent prices in the Silicon Valley. Are rent prices going down? Probably that'll never happen. But that remains a hot area. I did read that the market falling the fastest in housing, one of them was San Diego, my old town, hometown, because you had so much of a bubble there. So anyways, he's saying add it all up, COVID in China, war in Europe, food and energy crisis, which is definitely on our worry list, record fiscal tightening and more. The outlook is far grimmer than could have been foreseen in January. He says it's really deteriorated since January. Does Grantham come out of the house, do you think, or does he live in his basement?
I've followed him for some time now, for, you know, probably, I don't know, close to 15 years, you know, his firm GMO, and you know, he's pretty well versed in crises and in bubble calling, right? I mean, the thing is, historically, he can be pretty darn early, right?
Okay.
You know, in some points where, you know, he might, you know, he's been probably calling for this certainly for multiples to come in for, you know, probably since 2012, honestly. This is kind of his prime time, right? Whenever he's...
Well, they roll these guys out at times like this. I mean, right. We'll be hearing from Peter Schiff here in the next, probably in the next few days, and others. But, you know, listen, you got to have the same worries that he has with the climax and the final ending.
Okay. What is it, economists have called, you know, 10 out of the last 3 recessions, right?
That's exactly right. Okay, let's go to inflation for a minute. Campbell Soup slips after warning on elevated inflation. I notice there's fewer potatoes in my pot roast soup these days. Have you noticed that? The potatoes are smaller. And try to find the roast in the pot. Oh, no, there's hardly any roast in the pot. I think they're putting in more string beans, which are much cheaper. There's no question that, inflation is still with us. I mean, we saw record inflation numbers out of Europe yesterday at 9.1. And, of course, his speech would have not been so nasty. He actually wants the stock market to go down. The stock market is inflationary. It's very inflationary. Yeah. A rising market gives people, you know, this consumer confidence. Oh, my 401k, I got nothing but money to spend. It puts more money in people's pockets. And, one of his goals was to put an end to that stock market burgeoning summer rally that was taking place.
Well, and when you look at July, like, investor confidence numbers were up, right? Even consumer confidence numbers
were up.
Bitcoin
was up.
And, you know, I mean, what they're going to have to do, right, is, I mean, you have to stamp out, you really have to stamp out growth. And the problem is a lot of your inflation, you just hit on it, in terms of rents, right? You know, two of the biggest, you know, inflationary, you know, items currently, right, are rents or housing and wages. And the two stickiest ones to bring down are the ones that are going to last for a long time, right, because most of them are usually contractual, is wages and rents. Because, I mean, if you get a rent increase, right, you stick with the, you know, stick
it
with
ain't
the
going
price
away.
For 12
it's
months.
Never going down.
Well, it's not going down at least for 12 months.
And wages and never
chances,
go down.
Right, and the chance of it actually going down are slim, right?
That bill in California with the fast food workers. They're
right?
looking at $22 an hour. What is that? How about the Big Mac indicator?
Well, they're just going to want you to. I mean, essentially, the way I kind of look at that too is they're trying to move you away from fast food to begin with, right?
It's also looking out, you know, for the poor workers, the labor unions,
right?
And
yep.
whatnot are behind all this. Okay, we have a couple deals. Novo Nordisk buying FMTX, that's the big winner of the day, one of the few winners of the day. I should have saved that for my highlights. It's up 49%. Okay, so there's good news. And Rio Tinto reaches a deal to buy out Turquoise Hill Resources. I think that's a gold stock. Microsoft is continuing ahead with their Activision their attempt at purchase there. It's getting an in-depth review in the UK. now on the downside in the tech sector. A lot of bad news yesterday. Seagate Western Digital drop after Seagate gave a bad warning. There was another one. Let's see. I think it was Okta, which is a software company, is getting clobbered.
Yep, and there and that is one of those, you know, kind of actually going back to Jeremy Grantham talking about tech spending, right, and potential reducing workforces. I mean, that's they have low sales projections going forward. So
yes, and Ciena not good, and one other AI, which is artificial intelligence company, fairly recent IPO, all of them guiding lower. So not a good day for tech at all. What is popping? Anything? We may be talking inverse funds when we come back. I don't know. We'll see. We'll be right back. To the final segment of today's Best Stocks Now show. You know, we're one of the few shows out there, at least I haven't heard any of the other shows, or, whether it's CNBC, whether it's Fox Business, whether it's Bloomberg. I don't hear them talk about the inverse ETFs. It's almost like they want to keep it quiet. They don't want you to know. I don't know what the deal is. I don't see any advertisements. You know, I was just fortunate enough about 15 years ago or more to have a visit to my office from one of the pro funds, pro shares, I think. It was pro funds. No, it was pro funds back then. They were the first ones kind of to get permission, and they created some inverse mutual funds. That just went the opposite way. So if you've got the S&P down 1.5% today or whatever it is, the inverse is up 1%. I don't see what the big deal is. You're using it just like a, you would the index, buying the index, SPY. Instead of buying SPY, you're buying SH. And that is, I did not want to do it, but when I see things starting to fall apart and the sentiment changing, which it did last Friday, I thought it would be short-lived at first, Barry. I really did. I thought it would blow over. The market would get used to it real quickly. But you know what? It's not. I mean, it's turned the sentiment on the market on its head. And look like we're headed back to those old lows, which I really didn't expect that to happen. But the market doesn't always do what you think it's going to do. And I've also learned to not argue with the market. As after I had looked at about 987 charts yesterday or whatever it was, and every one of them was just yucky, I said, you know what? I don't like this. And I looked at my inverse funds. I flipped through them real quickly. I said, I'm going to start with some 1-to-1, not the 2-to-1, not the 3-to-1, some 1-to-1 just to, take a little risk off the table here. I mean, we already have about a 40% position in cash, which we've had a big chunk of cash the entire year. And I took some of that cash, and we sold a few things yesterday, and I put about 10% overall. Okay, so in an individual account, it would be 4 or 5%, because I bought in all of our growth portfolios, and we have an inverse fund in the bond portfolio on interest rates. We do talk about the inverse funds, and we do deploy them, when times, it's like a hurricane warning. You going to heed the warning? Going to put your shutters up? Are you going to, batten down the hatches a little bit? Well, you know what? I didn't like what I saw. I don't like the sentiment. You can read all the bullish articles you want about why the market should go to 5,000, but the market doesn't lie. It's the biggest truth teller. The market is the market. and the sentiment of the market is seen in the action of the individual stocks and in the indexes. And I thought by the middle of this week that we'd be over, or the market would be over that big speech by Powell, but it became obvious that it wasn't going to get over, that for now there is no wind left in these markets. It's just like a sail gone, just flapping in the breeze right now and being pushed the other way. And that's what I've seen. So anyways, okay, so here's some inverse funds here that are popping today. The biggest gainer in the inverse funds is the semiconductor. SOXS is up 12% today because it's leveraged three times against the semiconductor index. You know, Barry, every time that darn semiconductor index starts to rally and make some meaningful gains again, something comes along. I'm not so worried about AMD, but NVIDIA, that's not a good development there.
Yeah, I mean, AMD, right. I mean, the problem is they're so susceptible to so many different risks, right? I mean, there's, you know, on the plus side, there's a huge mismatch, right, between demand and supply for chips. So they've got that tailwind, but the problem is you've got, you know, with NVIDIA, you know, they're I think it could cost them up to, you know, $400 million in revenue, I think. AMD says that, you know, it's not a material, it's not going to be a material issue for them. But, I mean, you've got, you know, you think about all the things affecting the semiconductor industry, whether it's, COVID zero in China, whether it's, China-Taiwan issues, right? Whether it's just a contraction in capacity, or, you know, just supply can't meet demand. So regardless if you have the orders, you can't even fill them. And so there's a lot of different issues facing the semiconductor industry, and then throw in the Biden administration's announcement yesterday, and there's another one to throw on the.
It sounds like he didn't even consult with them at all. It was just like, hey, here's the way it's going to be, and you're not going to do business anymore with them. Well, you know, I don't know, earlier this week I started getting, when I'm nervous, I do start putting in sell stops, because that does just take the emotion out of it. And I said, you know, I don't like the way a lot of these things are trading right now. And I did put in a sell stop under NVIDIA within the last couple of days, and it triggered right at the open today, and I lost it. I'm not, bemoaning that loss. We got stopped at $142.02. We had a pretty big position in the Premier Growth Portfolio. Well, it's at $135 right now, so it's down another $7 since that, and it gapped down. I had the sell stop actually quite a higher than $142. I think I had it at 148 or something, but it never saw 148 between yesterday's close, Barry, and today's open. It didn't just like kind of trickle downwards. It gapped down. So we got the price where it opened today, pretty much, because I had that sell stop in, and bang, we're out right at the open at 142, and it's now 136. It's one of the worst charts in the entire market is NVIDIA, NVDA. Well, you can't be on offense all the time. Sometimes you got to play defense. If you'd like to talk to us, is this thing going to get worse? Is Jerry Grantham going to be right? Is your guy active or passive? 855-611-BEST or GundersonCapital.com. Get this week's newsletter, GundersonCapital.com. Have a great day, everybody.
This show is not a solicitation to buy or sell any securities. Bill Gunderson or clients of Gunderson Capital Management may have long or short positions in stocks mentioned during the show. Gunderson Capital Management is a fee-based registered investment advisory firm. All accounts are held at Ameritrade. Ameritrade is a member of SIPC and FINRA.